the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And in the Spirit he carried me away to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the gospel reading is from John chapter 1. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said to him, How do you know me? Jesus answered him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Jesus answered him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these. And he said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. We celebrate today the feast of the Apostle Bartholomew, identified with Nathanael in John's Gospel. And the two readings we've heard are both wonderful works of theological imagination, or at least were readings that appeal to the imagination. A vision of the heavenly Jerusalem, the bride of the Lamb, coming down out of heaven, angels, gates, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, foundation stones, the names of the 12 apostles. And the Gospel reading too, strange story. We don't know what it was that Jesus and Nathanael were talking about when they referred to what happened under the fig tree. But then Jesus ends with this more wonderful thing that they will see, heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, evoking the story of Jacob's dream in the book of Genesis, where he had a vision in his dream of the angels of God ascending and descending, and awoke to say, this truly is the gate of heaven, the house of God. And evoking also that wonderful prayer in Isaiah chapter 63 and 64, Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, a prayer which is answered at the baptism of Jesus, when we're told in Matthew's Gospel that the heavens opened. People often long for an imagined enchantment which they think the world has lost. Perhaps we just grow up and lose the ability which we had as children to be amazed and filled with wonder at all that we are encountering. But it's often said now that the world is no longer an enchanted place, that it has been emptied of supernatural and preternatural beings, that it has been reduced to a machine at the disposal of human beings, there for our manipulation and exploitation. And so people say, perhaps there is life elsewhere in the universe, perhaps there is intelligent life elsewhere in the universe. People talk about angels frequently in the context of New Age spirituality and so on. Fantasy literature is very popular, science fiction, and perhaps other more sinister ways of trying to escape from a world that seems too ordinary, too banal, too one-dimensional, through drugs and so on. all of this we can see as a nostalgia for a sense of the infinite beauty of God. We believe that God is the creator of all things visible and invisible, things that come within the range of our vision, things that he has created which are beyond the range of our vision, the angelic world, and perhaps other worlds beyond our imagination, the infinite beauty of God. And it is also of this that the angels remind us, that God is not simply our size, our shape, our God, limited to our perception and understanding and experience, but infinitely powerful, infinitely wise, infinitely holy and creative and imaginative. So what there might yet be to be revealed, to be learnt about God, this is the question which people, I think, are considering when they talk about intelligent life elsewhere, or express nostalgia for the angels, or give themselves over to fantasy or science fiction. All that we need to know about God's creation has been revealed to us. All that we need to know for our salvation, for our coming into union with God through Christ. And what we've learned about the angels helps us to know where we fit within this plan of God, within this creation. They set boundaries to our nature and to our situation. They direct us. Raphael, for example, the archangel Raphael, is one who directs people along the right road. The archangel Gabriel gives guidance and teaching. The archangel Michael gives protection. And it was a great tradition in medieval Christendom to place Michael at the boundaries of Christendom, to set him as the protector of the limits and the boundaries, all those wonderful places like Skellig Michael in Ireland or Mont Saint-Michel. Michael was always the one who protected the boundaries of the Christian Commonwealth. So the angels help us to know where we are. They give us direction and guidance and protection. They also help us to appreciate that we are not angels. This is a great danger, especially in modern times, that we think of ourselves as spiritual beings trapped or, for the moment, residing in bodies. And this, of course, is a fundamental misunderstanding of what the human animal is, the living human animal. Thomas Aquinas talks about the living human animal as the image of God. The angels may be more perfect images of God in what is primarily involved in that, rationality and intelligence and freedom. But he says that human beings are fuller images of God. And they are fuller images of God because they are animals, because they have bodies. And so the presence of the soul throughout the body, for example, the way in which the soul and body cannot be separated, helps us to understand something about the presence of God throughout creation. The fact that human beings reproduce their kind teaches us something, images something about God's generativity, God's fertility and creativeness, which the angels are not able to image or represent within creation. So the angels are helpful to us in that way. They keep us in our place. They set the boundaries. They help us to understand something about our own nature and not to fall into that very common but deeply mistaken belief that we are somehow ourselves angels trapped in bodies. Christ, of course, is always at the center of our experience of God and our understanding of redemption and salvation. Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, our brother, who is our teacher, the Son of God, the King of Israel, one like the Son of Man, the Lamb, the angels ascend and descend on him. Everything in these texts is towards Christ, places Christ at the center. He is the Lamb, and this city is his bride. He is the one on whom the angels of God are ascending and descending. So the angels are preachers, as St. Augustine puts it. They are witnesses, pointing us towards God, teaching us something about God, leading us towards God, protecting us on our way to God. And now it is Christ who is at the center of this experience, this route, this road, this way to God for us, the firstborn of creation, the firstborn from the dead.